felt like the Lord spoke some specific things to us. We were there, and one of the things was, it's harvest time. And I know that I've said some things along these lines before, but let me give you an example of some things that the Lord began to show me. As he said that, immediately God gave me several things of what he means. And he did it from personally. Personally, I have a cotton farmer family in Louisiana. We went there one time during harvest time. And we were, it was a little dramatic for a little while, or traumatic, I guess I should say. What it is like their life, their entire life is about the harvest. When I say their entire life is about the harvest, I'm saying they don't even go to church on Sundays. I'm not condoning that, but they don't go to church on Sundays because they're working, because they're gathering the harvest. That's their job. That's their life, is harvest time. And so they would work 12, 14, 16-hour days, and they positioned themselves in a way that, you know, this is harvest time. This is what we do during harvest time. This is what I'm allowed to do when it's not harvest time. This is what I'm allowed to do, or this is what I must do when it's harvest time. And so I began to think about that, and I immediately, we were talking about it, and their complete focus changes. Their entire life, however long that is it 2 or 3 months? I can't remember. Cotton, and then they did soy and corn and everything else. So, but I was up there for cotton. And at that time, my aunt, she worked in a gin, the same 12, 14, 16 hours. And that's something that she had done her entire life. So she was used to it, you know, and she would say, I miss going to church. I can't go to church during harvest time. And I'm thinking, how does a church survive in a community where their members are harvesting? You know, I mean, think about that. If you don't have members three months out of the year, that's rough. That takes a special kind of pastor, right? but it felt like the Lord said that this is harvest time. And so with us, it was a challenge to us, because a lot of times what we do in this kind of situation is we'll stand on the word and we'll say, it's harvest time. It's harvest time. Be looking for the harvest. But I'm not going to change my focus or pattern my life to do anything to make sure that I am keenly aware of where the harvest is. Right? I find that a lot of times I could declare something, but am I willing to truly put my life on the line to make sure that that declaration becomes truth in my life and in the life of a community? So there's necessary changes that I feel like that we have to make. And yes, I am going to share what God spoke to us personally, or spoke to me personally, what I have to change. And before I get into that, I want to talk about something. You know, I love James. I love the book of James because of this. He's like, full force put the responsibility on us. He's like, he didn't start off by saying, the devil will flee from you. No, he didn't. He said, submit to God and resist the devil, and then he'll flee from you. That's my responsibility, right? Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. That's my responsibility, you know? And so James is the same way about working and about deeds. He's like, show me your, what does he say? Show me your faith without deeds, and I'll show you my faith with deeds, right? It was a little cocky, but I like it. I mean, it just shows that I can show you something. If we're going to discuss it, let's discuss it, right? So I love how James fully puts that responsibility on us. But I'm talking about that kind of work. I'm talking about that kind of deeds. I'm not talking about busyness. You know, we could be busy 24/7 and never do anything for the kingdom and never make any kingdom impact at all. But we do that, don't we? We do that with so many areas of our life. We just get busy. All right. The first thing that the Lord said we needed to change and embrace, do things a little different, is intimacy with the Lord. You know, I shared this with the women on Thursday night. The women. It's not a secret club or anything. But it is exclusive. Only women are invited. You're right. That was very smooth. I mean, where do you go from that? You're right. It's true. Yes. So, one of the speakers, Bobby Connor, I don't know if you guys know him or not, but he's been around a lot, or a long time, I guess I should say. He said, the Lord spoke to him and said, tell my people that when they're seeking me, I don't like multitasking. That was like an arrow that went straight through me. And you know, man, I realized immediately, I was like, Jesus, I have done this. And I would sit down, I'd read the word a little bit, I would get up, I'd pray, come back, sit down. You know, the timer would go off on the laundry, I'd get up, I'd do the laundry, and I'd come back and sit down, read a little more, pray a little more, or whatever. And then pretty soon, my kids are awake, and I've had scattered time with Jesus. It was multitasking and seeking him. And I'm not even going to tell you about where my mind's going during that time. I mean, discipline mind for a few minutes every once in a while. So that was something that the Lord, like, felt like my heart exploded for a moment. I was like, that is me. Dang it. But praise God, the Holy Ghost lets us know, right? So even in intimacy, now I believe that we do that with our life with the Lord and our intimate time with the Lord as we're growing closer to him and or we're seeking him. I believe that we get busy. We're doing busy work sometimes when we think we're seeking him. Been guilty of that too. You know, I don't know how good you guys are. I'm not knocking them, but I am not good at this. And this is a confession and not talking. I'm sure there's a better word than what's in my head right now. What I'm not doing. Anyway, but I am not good at the, okay, read this chapter this day, read these verses this day. What is it like it's a Bible reading, but it's like a year in the Bible. Or what, you know what I do is I get in it and I start it and I just read as fast as I can just so I can make that check. And I'm like, I'm done. And I like can't even tell you what I've read. And then so what happens is usually like day 20, I'm done. Because I'm like, I am over this. Well, once you hit Leviticus, it's like Leviticus is a killer. I died in Leviticus. Right. Yes, Numbers, yes. So that is busy work. It's just busyness if you do it like I do. Now, for those people that can do it and not just do it to put a check mark, man, you guys are awesome. I'm just confessing that is not me. And I've tried. In fact, in our cabinet is one of those Bibles. I'm just saying. If anyone wants it, you can have it. If you're good at it. So, here's some things that the Lord spoke to me about intimacy. The importance of Isaiah 40:31. Can anyone quote it? Usually, we know this is one though. But those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. And they will soar. That's a good one, isn't it? Wait on the Lord. Stop and listen. That's what waiting is. You know, we talked about we're going to do a soaking night a month on a Wednesday night. And that's all that is. It's positioning ourselves to wait on the Lord. To stop our life for however long that may be. And stop and listen. John 10:4. Let's go to that quickly. His sheep, I'm just going to skip down. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. If we don't stop and listen, we won't know his voice. We won't. Intimacy cultivates the fact that I can know his voice. And when I hear it, I know it. So sometimes when we feel like we're not hearing the voice of God, maybe it's because we've gotten too busy and we just need to sit and wait and listen. Part of intimacy is checking our motivation, right? And our busyness. Like I said, I just wanted that check mark. Just wanted those things done. Something that Christians are supposed to do, especially pastors when they preach from the Word. It's pretty important that we know the Word, right? A little bit. Hebrews 11:6. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly, diligently seek him. If my first reason for seeking him is just that I may know him, that I may know his voice, but then at the end, what do you think he rewards us with? Himself. Because what prize equals that? I mean, like, there's no other reward that could equal something that I desire from the very beginning. He rewards those who diligently seek him. He is our prize. So in the midst of the harvest, first of all, the growing closer to him in intimacy. Busyness is an intimacy killer. Just wanting to be busy. But also, one of the things too, and this is all, everything's birthed out of intimacy. Everything comes out of that. It's relying on his power. Rely on his power. So Colossians 1:8, He's informed us, which this the servant, Paul's talking, and he's talking about a servant that came to Colossae and was telling Paul the report, basically, what he found there of the saints. He's informed us of the many wonderful ways love is being demonstrated through your lives. The empowerment of the Holy Spirit, is being demonstrated through your lives by the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Out of intimacy, we gain our strength, like it said in Isaiah, that we gain our strength by waiting on Him. Colossians 1:28-29, Christ is our message. We preach to awaken hearts and bring every person into the full understanding of truth. It has become my inspiration and passion and minister to labor with timeless intensity, with His power flowing through me, to present to every believer the revelation of being His perfect one in Jesus Christ. His power flowing through me. One of the things with busyness is a lot of times we just kind of go on what we feel, or we go on what we think we need to do at that time, or what worked for someone else. And we know that we try to set our hearts in a way to hear Him and to do things according to what He tells us to do. We try very hard to do that. Because the fact is that the reason why the sun stood still for Joshua is because God told Joshua to tell the sun to stand still. I can't go out there and say, hey, sun, stand still. I mean, I could try. I would either look like an idiot, or God would allow that to happen and something, I would still look like an idiot because I would be disciplined for it. But listening to His voice and doing what He says. Remember, I'm not just talking about toiling or being busy at doing things, but I'm talking about in the harvest, the mind shift, the mind change, the mind of, you know what, Jesus, what do you, where do you want me to pick the harvest today? What do you want me to do today? And it may be something so simple, and it may be something huge. But the fact is if I know that it's harvest time, I'm going to be ready. I'm going to be ready. I'm going to be on alert. I'm not going to be in a place where my mind is like, oh, I gotta do this and I have to do this. But no, I have set something in my heart of, okay, this is the season where God has says that people are going to be saved, delivered, and healed. So I'm going to make sure I'm looking for them. Remember, we are His ambassadors, right? There's something else that the Lord spoke to me, and it was, I was thinking about something that actually one of the speakers had said, and I was just kind of pondering it, and he was talking about how what we've done to the gospel. And he wasn't beating people up. He was just saying, hey, this is what we've done as the church. And this is where we could continue to go if we are not on guard. And he was talking about how we need discernment and we need to know the word of God. We all know this, right? But he used some examples. He said, you know, like for instance, he said, he was in a church and there was a man that was talking about someone having an affair. he said, that's all nice. That's all that it is. It's nice to say an affair. But if you stand up in the pulpit and say it's wrong to commit adultery, that's a little different than saying you shouldn't have an affair. So what he was saying was that we kind of put a little powder on it and try to make it look a little nicer to people, right? And the Lord really spoke to me about it. Because, you know, Paul and then, well, most of the New Testament, but Paul was pretty strong in his words to several of the churches about the sins that would keep people from heaven, right? And then John in Revelation, which I always tell my kids, you know that song at Revelation, it was Revelation 21:8, you know, liars go to hell. It's a children's song. So I never learned it, but I learned it later. And so I always say, okay, are you lying? And I was like, just remember Revelation 21:8. But you know, before that, there's a whole list of things that will keep you from heaven. They usually laugh at me when I do that. So busyness is a false teacher. Because sometimes what I'm willing to do to say that someone gets saved is make the gospel nicer, where the person, oh, this is what hurt my heart so bad. See, the truth sets us free. If I don't preach the truth or you don't preach the truth, they're not free. And the reason why a lot of people want nothing to do with Christianity is it has nothing to do with Jesus. It's because they realize they don't need him. Because what we've done is, there's a Diet Coke commercial the other day. You do you. Well, okay. But I can't do me without Jesus. Therefore, I need freedom from sin to be me. That's just a lie of the world. What that does is it sets people up to think that they can live in their junk and still cry on the name of Jesus and still live in their junk. Well, that's not the gospel. It's not. And so there's no freedom. Man, it hurt my heart to realize in that context, that verse, that if I give them anything else than the truth, they're living still in bondage. Man, think about the responsibility on me to speak the truth. To speak about things. And yes, we do it with love. We know that. We have heard that so much. But it comes down to the motivation of my heart. If the motivation of my heart is just to speak truth, then love will not shine through. But if the motivation of my heart is, I want you to be free. I want you to realize that you don't have to live that way anymore, then love will come through. But being unwilling to let them live the way that they want, man, that hurt my heart. So if you would turn to Matthew 13. I'm going to start reading in verse 24. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed a good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from?" "An enemy did this," he replied. The servants asked him, "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" "No," he answered, "because while you were pulling the weeds, you may uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, 'First, collect the wheat and tie them in bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn.'" What I found really interesting about this verse, several things. The servant was like, "Didn't you plant good seed? Didn't you do that?" Didn't you open up to with a shelter during Harvey? Didn't you do a distribution center? Where is your harvest? Didn't you do this? Didn't you do community meals every month? Where is the wheat? Why is there weeds? Why are there weeds? Ah, a little bit of accusation, huh? So what does that do? Like, it caused doubt. It caused doubt. But the owner goes, no, that was the enemy. That was an enemy that did that. Sometimes we're looking at a field. We've been looking at Vider for a while, looking at the county, wherever you are from. I'm sure you're believing for them. Look at that and you see weeds. We see weeds. We hear a lot of things. So right then we have to view the weeds among the harvest as the enemy planted them. You know, another thing is that owner could have been like, you know what, just plow it all. Take it all down. Start over. Probably was too late to do that. But he could have had them pull it all up, because let's face it, that's more work. They have to first take the weeds out, bundle them up, and burn it instead of just picking the wheat. They do the weeds first and then the wheat. That's double the work. But no, he had the wisdom of God. Don't take it out yet, because some of the wheat will come out and it will mess it up. They'll die. The wheat would die. Can't harvest too soon. So he would lose his entire harvest. But the enemy tried. The enemy tried to steal his harvest. But God gave him wisdom. There were specific instructions he gave to the harvesters. Specific instruction. Prophetic word of the Lord is, it's harvest time. Now, if we walk out and we see a field that has weeds and wheat, because we do, what are we going to do with it? Willing to do the extra work to have the harvest of the wheat, right? You know, sometimes too, I believe that we have felt like that we have been busy and we have seen little fruit. I believe that for this house in some ways. I do not believe that we moved out of the instruction of the Lord. Do not believe that. I think that if the leadership of this church was convicted by the Holy Spirit that we moved out of timing to do something, there would be quick repentance and quick turnaround in every area. But I do declare this, that it is harvest time. But it's going to take a little bit of change, a little bit of focus, and be willing to allow him to change our mind and what we're focused on and what we choose to do. So Friday, I was getting together, I was reading some verses and stuff, and I get a call at 7 o'clock in the morning from a good friend. I answer the phone, and I say, are you okay? Because we rarely talk on the phone. When I say rarely, I think it's been a couple of years. I mean, our communication, I mean, it's one of those, she knows I love her. I know she loves me. She'll send me a text every once in a while, usually of a new song. and I'll send her one. That's just how we do our friendship. But there's always a knowing that if I call, she would be there. So I answer, "Are you okay?" And she starts laughing. She was like, "Yes." She said, "I had a dream about you and Rick last night, and I had to tell you because if I didn't, I wouldn't have a good day. The Holy Spirit wouldn't leave me alone." And so she said that we had come to visit her, and on the back of her property, there was a tent. And she said it wasn't a huge tent, but it was a good-sized tent. I mean, it was pretty tall. And she said, Rick and I were standing at the kind of the doorway or whatever of the tent, and we were standing there, and we were just, you know, looking at each other and looking at the tent. And she said, you know, knowing me, she said she just ran around us and went in the tent. She said, "You know how I am." And she was like, "It was like you guys were contemplating whether you should go in or not." She said, "You know, I don't contemplate anything. I just do it." Anyway, she said she went in, and she said the presence of the Lord was so thick in that tent. And she looked over in the right corner of the tent, and there was a tree. She said the tree was very small. And she said, you know, it wasn't like, it was just kind of part of the tent. It was not a huge deal. She said, but the presence of the Lord was just so thick. She said, she looked around, and Rick and I had stepped through into the tent holding hands. And she said, him and I prayed something, and immediately that tree started growing and blossoming. And she said, and the tree was beautiful. She said, every branch had unique flowers on it. And each flower was a different color. None of them were the same. She said, and the thing grew to the top of the tent, and she said she immediately went into intercession. And just really felt like she was birthing something in the spirit. She was, and we went to school with her at Brownsville Revival School of Ministry, and she said, "Paula, I haven't interceded like that since then." She said, "I woke up in intercession." She said, "That's what woke me up." And she said, "I don't know if that means anything to you." And I was like, "Do you know that our church logo is a tree?" "No, I didn't." And then I just told her, that, you know, just what the Lord spoke briefly about harvest to us. And she said, "Well, it's kind of alarming that the fruit or flowers." And I was like, "Well, that's just the hippie side of you, but we'll just go with it." Maybe it's the flowers that people eat. I don't know. But no. But so, I felt like that was confirmation for the word that we got. Now, and it was pretty immediate. I mean, I was sitting reading that scripture, actually, in Matthew 13. And she called. So, the Lord is definitely doing some things. So in that, in the harvest, some of the instructions that the Lord has given us is on, see if I could say this right this time, the third Thursday of every month we'll be at the administration, Vider administration building, praying around the flagpole. We've asked permission to do that at the city hall. Hopefully I'll find something out on Monday. And then just doing prayer walks around what the Lord has already told us to believe for. On Tuesday mornings at 8:30, that will begin in September, which is only a couple weeks away, right? What is the Lord saying to you specifically? about harvest. It may be something so small, about not small, you know what I mean. Like, not take you 7 hours a day to do something. If you guys want to intercede 7 hours a day, then go for it. Do it. It'd be amazing. So, anyway, but it may be something very simple. Writing encouraging notes to someone. Whatever it may be. But you know what I've decided in my heart? We have several people that come by our door a lot, or come in our door, too. They're going to know Jesus. They're not just going to get food. They're going to know Him. They're going to know Him. Either they're going to know Him, or they're never going to come back here for food. I'm not talking about being aggressive, but you know what I mean. We have enough relationship with them, they should know. But anyways, all right, if you guys would stand. You know, sometimes we don't do anything, I say do anything, but we don't move when God tells us to do things for several reasons. One, we have been shut down before. Or two, there's something inside of us that we knows inside of us that still needs to be cultivated. All right, sometimes we need to... We need a little bit of life in that area. Either we've spoken death to it or someone else has spoken death to it. Regardless, we just need life, right? So I'm going to pray about that too. All right. Jesus, we love you. We thank you for your truth. We thank you for conviction. We thank you, Lord, that you are a revealer of truth, that you show us what we need to do. You give us strategy. You show us a different road entirely sometimes, God. I thank you for that, Jesus. I thank you, God, that it is not your desire that either one of us are put in a box. And Jesus, I thank you, God, that sometimes we have a very limited understanding, God, of what you've called us to. Actually, most of the time we have very limited understanding. And God, I pray that those that just need confirmation of what you've spoken to them, God, I pray that you give that to them, Lord. I pray that you give them just a little bit more, a little bit more understanding. Jesus, for those that who maybe have served and been so busy that they've laid their calling and their destiny aside, Jesus, I just speak life to that in Jesus' name. God, right now we agree together that those things will be brought to life in Jesus' name. Lord God, I pray for those, Lord, that have served faithfully, God. I ask you to pour your grace and your blessings upon them, God. I bless them in the name of Jesus to succeed in everything that they do. And God, I bless those, Lord, right now in the name of Jesus that have laid those things aside that you've called them to do, God. I bless them to pick it up. I bless them with grace to pick it up, God. I bless them with multiple. Just like you prayed over the bread and it multiplied. God, I bless them with multiplication in their life and everything that they do, everything that they touch, God. Multiplication of prayers being answered. And God, I thank you that yes, during harvest time it is work, God, but I thank you that it is through your strength and your spirit, God. It is not by might. It's through your spirit, God. It is not through my strength, but it is through your strength. The empowerment of the Holy Spirit, God. I thank you, Jesus, that you do that inside of us, Lord. And give us confidence in that, God. God, may we know your word. Yes, Lord. Give us an understanding, God, and discernment, Jesus. God, I pray for discernment, whether something or someone is a weed in a wheat, God. I pray, Jesus, that we won't just assume, but we will put forth the same effort. Because that's what they did. They put forth the same effort as they did collecting the weeds, as they did the wheat. And God, I pray that we don't discount people when we just look across the field and assume that we know. But God, I pray that Jesus, through the process, that God, they will. They will encounter you. God, because it is your will that none should perish, but all should have eternal life. If you had the person next to you, if you would just put your hand on them, I'm going to agree about some things. Jesus, we thank you, God, for a personal harvest. A personal harvest, God, for each person in this place. God, yes, we believe for corporate and we believe for a city and for a county to be saved. And yes, God, we do. And Lord, I thank you for a harvest in every area of everyone's life, God, in Jesus' name. I thank you for a harvest in finances, God, for those that have given, for those that have been faithful to tithe, for those that have been faithful to give offerings, God. I thank you in the name of Jesus that they will reap their harvest in Jesus' name. Sure. And in health, God, health. God, right now, we bless everyone in this place and everyone, God, in the body of Christ that struggles and fights with health. We bless them with your divine health that is in the covenant that we have for you hanging on the tree. And Lord God, I thank you for that, that you rose again and set us free from that bondage. God, we receive our divine health and the harvest of that in Jesus' name. And God, as we draw near to you, we thank you that you are faithful to draw near to us. And God, that we don't do it out of busyness, Lord. We do it out of love. We do it, God, our motive, because you are our lover and you are our friend. And God, we seek you, Jesus, because we desire to be close to you. We desire to be so intimate with you, God. And Jesus, I pray, God, that you will clean up all the motives that are wrong in that, God. We thank you for... Holy Spirit, we thank you that you are always with us. You are always teaching us and guiding us and filling us. Lord, I pray that you fill us fresh and anew. God, I pray that we will walk as people, Lord, that are just known to be lovers of you. We thank you, Lord. We love you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.